Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 53, recorded Friday, May 11th, 2007. This is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler. It's more about the journey than the destination. Two topics on today's Travel Commons Podcast: embarrassed by my inner child, and travel tech, traveling with the family. This week, coming to you from the Marriott Courtyard in San Francisco's SoMa District, the south of Market Street District, it's been 2 months since the last Travel Commons episode. Sorry about that. Actually, I've been working on this podcast, I think, for about a month now. I started to write it on the plane ride back from South Africa after a two-week vacation in Cape Town. But, you know, there was just one thing after another, and as Hillary Bauman, a longtime Travel Commons listener, put it to me one time, life gets in the way. The kick in the pants to get this done and get this finished came actually on Tuesday when Mark Lorwald, and Mark, I'm sorry if I've butchered your last name, but he left a comment on the website. My iTunes feed started to feel left out, so I checked here. Again, no episode. I hope you haven't given up on traveling. So I fired up the laptop on what has become my weekly commute out here to the Bay Area and finished it off. By the way, after my flights to and from Cape Town last month, 8 hours from Chicago to Europe and 11 hours from Europe to Cape Town, the 4-hour flight between Chicago and San Francisco is now just sort of a short hop. Go, a jazzy bit of bridge music courtesy of Mark Lorwald's saxophone quartet Virung, the jazz suite for saxophone quartet number one. As near as I can tell from Mark's website, it's sort of a mixture of English and German. He's a woodwind musician in Hamburg. I asked him if he wanted to contribute some bridge music, and he sent me some links. I'll post a link to his website in the show notes. So following up, lots of good commentary on the website and the email bag since the last podcast. Of course, it has been 2 months, so I shouldn't be too surprised. Ed Vauder sent me a note following up on our ongoing Smelly Skies thread. Ed says, a young couple with a baby was seated across the aisle and one row back from me. They waited until the plane door had closed and we had pushed back to change the baby's diaper. Then, the husband squashed the dirty, smelly diaper into the seat pocket in front of him. Of course, being O'Hare, we were stuck on a 15-minute wait on the taxiway before the takeoff, the diaper smelling the plane up the whole time. It wasn't until we had reached our cruising altitude and the captain had turned off the seatbelt sign that he finally got up and disposed of the diaper. Well, I was reminded of Ed's story on my flight from Frankfurt to Cape Town. South Africa Airways provided the couple in front of me a very nice bulkhead-mounted bassinet for the overnight flight down. An hour before touchdown, during the breakfast service, and before they clicked on the seatbelt, the fastened seatbelt sign, the couple decides to change the baby's diaper, pretty fully loaded from a good night's sleep, and they change it in the bassinet. That was a nice mix with the omelet. I mean, what gives? Like I said, in this case, the seatbelt sign was off, and all the toilets in the Airbus 340 were equipped with fold-down changing tables. I mean, I can only think that the parents just couldn't be bothered to shift the kid to the toilet. But even in Ed's case, the parents couldn't think ahead and change the diaper before they were locked in their seats. I mean, I traveled extensively with two kids from the time they were 6 months old. It's not that tough. I think some parents lose their perspective. Their worldview narrows to nothing but their child. And quite honestly, they expect everyone else to accept that. And then they forget about how their actions impact others around them. I mean, normally you can walk away from these people, but it's tough to do that at 36,000 feet or in queue at O'Hare. My international travel always gives me a chance to follow up to see how the TSA shoe carnival, that shoeless shuffle through security, is spreading. It was 2 for 4 on my South Africa trip. O'Hare and Heathrow, of course, wanted to x-ray our shoes, and that's not new news. But Frankfurt and Cape Town, you know, they were willing to put us at risk of a shoe bombing. Amazingly, we survived both of those flights without incident. I did notice on my flight last Friday out of Oakland that the TSA screener 2 stations over allowed a Southwest flight attendant to keep her shoes on going through the metal detector. I was very surprised, but didn't get a chance to ask the screener the reason for the special treatment. I don't know. Has anyone else seen this? Any reasons why? We had a couple of listeners contribute to our ongoing hotel bandwidth tests. Amy Hodge ran the bandwidth test from speakeasy.net on the free internet service in the Adams Mark Hotel in downtown Denver. She rang the bell at a smoking 4,800 kilobits down, that's 4.8 megabits per second down, and 4,100 kilobits, like 4.1 megabits per second up. I'll tell you, I think that's the best rate we've seen yet, and it was for free. Robert Finnerty finally gave in to Verizon's siren song of Always On Broadband and bought an EVDO card for his laptop. He says, currently at Pinehurst, North Carolina, where I'm getting a not-so-smoking 120 kilobits per second. Well, hey, it's faster than tethering my cell phone to my USB port. Of course, a day after I buy this, a guy shows me how he attached his EVDO BlackBerry to his PC, but that ain't Reve, so I am still the Uber geek for today. Hey, well, thanks to everyone who contributes their thoughts and stories, the voice of the traveler. The email address, as always, comments, COMMENTS, at travelcommons.com, or you can post them at the website at travelcommons.com. Well, there's another contribution from Mark Lorwald, this time a collaboration with the Swedish singer Aino, A-I-N-O. Sorry again if I'm butchering the non-Anglo-Saxon names. Anyhow, the song's called Solen. So the first topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is Embarrassed by My Inner Child. You know, in the past episodes, we've talked about how many airlines are devaluing their mid-tier status levels. You know, I'll tell you, flying 50,000 miles in a year feels like a lot, and it used to be. American's Advantage Platinum and United's Premier Exec levels used to give you some nice perks, but they've been taking those away. Both airlines seem to have drawn a line in their status programs, and these mid-tier levels fall below it. Board a United flight in San Francisco and O'Hare, and there are 2 lines. The red carpet line, I mean literally, there is a red carpet on the floor, for first class and the top tier flyers, 1K and Global Services, and a plain old tile line, you know, whatever the floor happens to be, for everyone else, Premier Exec on down. I'm embarrassed to say that this bothers me. I mean, why? Because I want to use the red carpet. Well, I get to use it sometimes when I score an upgrade, but I want to use it all the time. Well, why? Well, because I used to be special as Premier Exec, and now the sign above the red carpet, as well as the brutally enforcer gate agents, are telling me on every flight that I'm not special anymore. And that little id, that ancient reptilian part of my brain, doesn't like it. And I'm embarrassed, and I'm embarrassed and ashamed about that feeling. An IT Conversations podcast I listened to recently on customer experience said it better than I could. Here's an excerpt with Lou Carbone talking about how flying Northwest Airlines makes him feel.
Northwest thinks I'm a very loyal customer. I've got over 4 million miles on Northwest. I've been platinum as long as they've been platinum. I've been gold as long as they've had gold. And they think I'm one of their most loyal customers. I can't stand them. I think of it as a reward for the pain that they put me through. Let's examine this a little further. I mean, you know, they're in rocky times right now. And I'll explain why. because I believe that they don't understand how they make me feel, which is in turn how I feel about them. I do not like myself when I fly on Northwest. I hate myself. Deep down, there's a part of me that comes out that is like a wanting baby, a two-year-old that wants attention. And suddenly, when I don't get upgraded to first class, that two-year-old comes out. I'm embarrassed by my behavior. I sat last night, I had two of the biggest people on both sides of me on a flight. I didn't get upgraded. The whole way, I'm nudging and popping people, and it's like, I'm more important than this. Because they've taught me that I am more important, except for one moment, it's like, I go from hero to zero. They don't even recognize who I am once I'm in the back. It's like, go back there and suffer. There's no recognition whatsoever. I begrudge a five-year-old a seat in first class. I'm like, how did that kid get up there? I don't like feeling that way. It makes me uncomfortable. Tried to check a bag, an extra bag, and I went through the sky cap, and then the person at the counter, and she said the only person who can do it is the station manager. The station manager comes over. I embarrassed my wife so badly. It was at Tampa Airport. She left me at the counter and went upstairs because I lost it. He came up and he shook his finger in my face and he said, there's no way you're going to get that bag on that plane without paying $100. I looked at him. I absolutely lost it. I waved my finger back at him and I said, you're the reason that Northwest is bankrupt, and I hope you're the first person to lose your job. Four people in line clapped. They used to have hot towels. They had a thing called meals. That vanished. Then we went to snacks. And then we went to, not peanuts, because those are for, you know, they're allergies and stuff here. So we went to pretzels. And then the pretzels went away. I mean, you're sitting there, it's like they even took blankets and pillows away. Are they going to strap us to engines and fly us across the country soon? They took the ticket jacket away until customers complained, and then they brought the ticket jacket back. It's insane. Person next to me is yield management, so wonderful. Right? And the airlines are so profitable because of it, right? Someone next to me is paying $99. I'm paying $859 to get here. How does that make me feel? Real important. Is it rational the way I feel? No. It's not rational. It's not on the features and benefits that some marketing department put together in this wonderful program that upgrades me. Because they forgot how I feel.
Well, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. I'll put a link to the podcast in the show notes. I wonder if somebody at Northwest has heard that rant. But you know, it's true. The best airlines, indeed, the best travel companies are the ones that set the right customer expectations and then exceed them. In the last Travel Commons episode, I talked about my flight from San Francisco to New York's JFK Airport, and I flew direct, arrived after midnight, and then I was going to take the shuttle over to the JFK courtyard to stay the night. It was cold out, but earlier that day, I'd received an email from the manager of the courtyard telling me to call when I arrived and to give them my mobile number, and then I could just wait in the heated monorail station and the driver would ring me when he arrived. And I thought, wow, that's a nice touch. But when I arrived and called the hotel, no one asked me for my mobile number, and I had to stand out in the cold for 20 minutes waiting for the shuttle driver. Now, Without that note raising my expectations, I would have just cursed the weather. Now I was cursing the manager, the driver, and the front desk clerk, but I think today's trip will be better. I just received a note from United on my BlackBerry. I've been upgraded for my flight home. I get to walk on the red carpet. That music was not from Mark Lorwald. Instead, it was from the Savukali Marimba Band from Cape Town, South Africa. My daughter bought the CD from the band after watching them play on the V&A waterfront. I'll post a picture of the band on the Travel Commons Flickr site, which kind of leads us into the second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, another edition of Travel Tech, traveling with the family. You know, most frequent travelers, we've talked about this before, have a finely tuned travel routine. And for most part, we're solitary figures, sort of throwbacks to the hunter-gatherers of prehistory. Just standing behind a family in the security line is enough to make many frequent travelers twitchy. Actually, traveling with their family requires some significant attitude adjustment. But I have to say, I'm pretty lucky with mine. The kids are now old enough and have traveled enough with me that they know the drill. They also have the packing drill down. For our two-week trip to South Africa, everyone fit into and was responsible for their own 21-inch wheeled bag and backpack. You know, we worked this drill last year for our trip to Sweden when we picked up my Saab convertible, when everything had to fit in the trunk with the top down. It's paying dividends now. No porters pushing a big stack of luggage. My family moved like seasoned, if not frequent travelers. The one thing I wasn't prepared for, though, was the number of electronic devices we carried that needed recharging. I mean, let's go through the list. My PC, my digital camera, the kids' digital camera, the video camera, my son's iPod, my daughter's iPod, my wife's iPod, my son's Nintendo DS, my daughter's Nintendo DS, my mobile phone, my wife's mobile phone. The list just went on. And of course, none of the power cords fit into any of the plugs at the houses where we were staying. South Africa has some wacky shaped plug. I brought a couple of plug adapters with me, but not enough. Every night I was cycling electronics and their power supplies across the two adapters, and then every morning two more devices went to charge while we were out. I don't know, maybe if I had thought about it, maybe if I'd done a cord count or a plug count, I would have seen it coming, but it just blindsided me. The other thing that struck me was my family's reliance on internet access. I mean, none of the places we stayed at had any in-room internet service. One hotel, Bushman Sands, had a PC in the TV lounge hooked up to a slow line, but that was about it. Now, it wasn't much of a problem for me. My T-Mobile GSM BlackBerry worked down there, as did my singular mobile phone. So, if someone needed to get hold of me, they could. I really had only brought my PC along as a place to dump digital pictures. I had brought along my new Nikon D80 digital SLR, and I'll tell you, between 10 megapixels a shot and a continuous shutter setting clicking off, well, maybe 2 to 3 shots a second, I'll tell you, you could fill up those digital memory cards pretty quick. So I didn't have a problem with internet access, but the rest of the family just about came unglued. My son couldn't IM or email his girlfriend. My wife couldn't check on the status of the grade school yearbook she runs. And it's not just YouTube millennials either. My folks just finished an 18-day cruise that took them from Florida down through the Caribbean, through the Panama Canal, up the Central American and Mexican Pacific coasts, and then to Seattle. The focus of their first 2 days at sea was, one, getting a better mattress, but two, figuring out the ship's internet access so they could send emails. The stereotype of hardworking type A dads needing to unplug from the teat of internet accessibility, I think, needs to be rewritten just a little bit. It's like the rest of the family, from the grandparents on down, well, they too need to push back from the bandwidth bar just a little bit more often. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons number 53. I hope you all enjoyed the podcast, and I hope you decide to stay subscribed. The bridge music on today's show from Mark Lorwald, Jazz Suite for Saxophone Quartet No. 1, and Solon, and Ola Cape Town, or Hola Cape Town. Yeah, kind of a mix of languages there. Ola Cape Town from the Savukali Marimba Band from Cape Town, South Africa. If you have a story, thought, comment, gripe, moan, groan, the voice of the traveler, send them along. Text or MP3 file to comments, COMMENTS, at travelcommons.com, or post them on our website at travelcommons.com. Thanks to everyone who has taken the time to send in emails, audio files, and post comments on the website. And as always, till next time, take care, and thanks for stopping by the Travel Commons. Bye now.
Life is hell, strange bed in a lonely motel. But one thing needs my mind, the warm woman that I left behind. From California to Carolina, she calls me up and there's nothing finer. And when the tears start falling, crying into the floor,